Begin a series entitled, When the Turkey's Gone, What Now? Now, that doesn't mean, ladies, when your husband leaves a room, what do you do? It does not mean when your kid goes to college, what now? When the turkey's gone, what now? Would you open your Bibles with me? Amen. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse number 18, if you'll stand with me. Just a couple of verses we're going to read this morning. Very familiar story. It says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now, and we thank you and we praise you for your strength, for your mercy, and for your grace. And Lord, I ask that you would send your victory, send your anointing, and send your peace into this service. Lord, I want you to help me preach this sermon the way you laid it in my heart. Lord, with the power and the strength of what you churned inside my spirit. Get me out of the way and communicate to the hearts and lives of your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. The turkey's gone. You heard me sharing with the kids this morning how that our Thanksgiving this year was a little different. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We had Pastor Brian and Pastor Anna and their kids, and I had my niece and her new husband and my other niece and a friend of hers and my nephew's girlfriend. My nephew wasn't here, but his girlfriend was. Had my dad. My mom decided to go to Florida instead. How rude was that? We have a special friend with us this week from Maryland, Kim. Kim is staying in our house and wouldn't come to Thanksgiving lunch with us. Instead, she decided to stay home and get sick all day, which probably had something to do with the fact that I was sick all day Wednesday. But we had a great time. We came over to the little building here, and we had a spread. We had turkey, and we had stuffing, and we had cranberry sauce. Yeah. And we had mashed potatoes, and we had sweet potatoes and sweet potato. We had two orders of sweet potatoes, and they were so good, fattening. And we had a pecan pie and an apple caramel pie and a pumpkin pie and a pumpkin spice cake and a coconut cream pie. Woo! Man, it sounds like food, don't it? I made up my big old plate and I ate. First time I'd eaten since lunch on Wednesday because I'd been sick all night Wednesday night. And I ate. But as I was telling the kids, my favorite thing about Thanksgiving is not the Thanksgiving lunch. It's grabbing that turkey sandwich. A couple pieces of toasted white bread. Some nice thick slops of Miracle Whip. Give you some turkey meat chunked up on that bread. Grab you a couple of the sweet banana peppers and put on there. And then if you got them, get you a little bit of that diced jalapenos and put on there so it bites back. And it maybe just a little bit of honey mustard on it. And you put that together. Oh, it's heaven on bread. It's the best thing since sliced bread. You get that about the middle of the third quarter when the Cowboys are beating whoever they're playing on Thanksgiving afternoon, and Thanksgiving is complete. And about the middle of the third quarter, I got up. Me and my father, we left the church up here about 3 o'clock to go home and watch the football game. And we got home and both got in recliners, and I was asleep before the kickoff. Missed the first touchdown, slept through it. But about the third quarter, everybody else had come to the house, I got up, moseyed into the kitchen and went, we didn't get any turkey. I wasn't able to make my turkey sandwich. And I did have my pecan pie, and it was good, but it wasn't my turkey sandwich because the turkey was gone. I had envisioned in my mind having that nice turkey sandwich. I'm getting hungry for it right now. I have envisioned in my head having that turkey, and it was gone. It wasn't there. All of us has experienced that kind of event. Sometimes as simple as things like turkey. When you want it a little more, but when you get there, it has been ravaged. You wanted more turkey, but when you get there, it's all gone. Sometimes in our life, there are things that we want, things that we plan, things that we say, this is how it's going to be. But all of a sudden, something happens. And the plans change. And all of a sudden, you're left standing there in the middle of a kitchen, looking around going, what am I supposed to eat as a Thanksgiving night snack if I don't have any turkey? What am I supposed to do when I had planned to do that? How am I supposed to make it when I can't get what I have been looking forward to? So my question for today is, when the turkey's gone, what now? What do we do now? When you thought you had a plan, when you thought that you had a plan to get something done, would you look at this verse we read, verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, we read this passage every year. We hear sermons preached about Joseph and his dreams. And I'm going to tell you, I want you to make plans now. Let me give you a little advertisement right here in the middle of my sermon. We are going to have church on Christmas morning at 10:30. We're not going to have Sunday school. That way, if you have family Christmas in the morning, you need to open gifts with the kids or whatever, you got till 10:30. I think the kids should wait till after church Sunday night to open the gifts. I think that would be better. I got one kid down there. She's already going, we're opening gifts. But we're going to have a regular church on Sunday morning, and then on Sunday night, Pastor, we're doing Sunday night too? Yeah. Because Sunday night we're going to do something special. Sunday night is just going to be a drama presentation. It'll be about 45 minutes long, maybe. And we're going to be having a special guest speaker, Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, is going to be here that night, and he's going to tell us what Christmas Day was like from Joseph's view. And so I want you to plan to be here. Pastor, why are we doing something on Christmas night? Because a lot of people, by the time they get to Christmas night, they're bored. So I want you to invite all your friends, and I want you to invite all your family, and say, hey, let's go give 30 minutes to an hour at Souls Harbor, and let's hear about the first Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. And I love Joseph. Joseph, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. But we've read this all the time, but have we ever really thought about it? It's what this verse says. It says this is how Jesus was born. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Now, we're going to start there. You know what that word means? That means they were engaged. They were already bound to marriage. I remember a December and, dear Lord, 1992. No, December of 91. That I proposed to my wife. And I put a ring on her finger. And then waited forever and a day, a year and a half, to actually get to marry her. But for a year and a half, we were engaged. When we got engaged, we were probably a little closer to the way they were. Because if I understand the customs of that day correctly, their engagement was much more involved than ours. She already came under his covering. They were not to be united together yet through marital relationships. But financially, he was already responsible for her. He already cared for her. He already took care of her needs. When my wife and I got engaged, it wasn't long after that that we opened a joint checking account and our money went together and we paid all the bills out of our money combined together. Should have got married a lot quicker because for a year and a half we paid two rents and two utility bills and two phone bills and because we both had our own places to live and it was expensive. But we were joined together. We had this plan. And for that year and a half I kept saying, I'm going to marry her. She's going to be my wife. It's going to be so cool when I would go home at night. Oh, where's Michael at? Michael's working this morning. He doesn't get to be embarrassed. We would go home at night. And I would be holding her. And we would be cuddled up together. And we would kiss. I got everybody going, oh, Lord. And for that year and a half, we go, you know what? In a few months, I won't have to go home. I don't have to leave. We'll be married. We were excited about it. We were looking forward to it. I had found the love of my life. It's amazing at those days. I knew that once we got married that it was forever. But at the same time, it's hard to believe it's been almost 24 years that we've been married now. But we were all looking forward to it. I believe that Joseph and Mary were excited about getting married. Hey, I'm going to marry Mary. She's nice. I'm getting everything set up. I'm getting all the bills in line. I'm getting the house ready. Everything's going to be ready to go. I think Mary would walk around and go, yeah, that's Joseph. I'm going to marry him. He's going to be my husband. I'm going to cook for him and clean for him. And that's what Beth was saying. She goes, I'm going to cook for him and I'm going to clean for him and I'm going to wash his clothes. And I'm going to... Oh, that's what I was thinking. She's going to cook for me. She's going to clean for me. She's going to wash my clothes. And Joseph and Mary, I believe, were excited. But before they came together, and I want to stop this, it says she was found with child. Now, I want you to forget that of the Holy Spirit is there. Because that's something Matthew put in knowing what happened. But according to Joseph, all he knew is his wife, who he had not had marital relationships with yet, was pregnant.
Whoa.
Back up. You better think again. In those days, what you talking about, homie? In those days, that was grounds for having her stoned. It was definitely grounds for divorce. He could have made a public spectacle of her. I had a plan. She was going to be my wife. And now, excuse the expression, but the turkey's gone. She is not worthy now. Something went wrong in my plan. All the work I've done. All the energy I put into it. Something went wrong in my plan. So naturally, the next thing that we find out is that Joseph says, well, now what? Now what am I supposed to do? Now where am I supposed to go? Now what am I supposed to act like? Look at verse 19. It says, now Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Here's what he said. So I'll tell you what now. I could drag her out in the streets and have her stoned, but I'm not going to do that to her because I'm a good guy. I'm a nice guy. I'm going to go the extra mile, and I'm just going to quietly divorce her. I'm going to quietly break this engagement. I'm going to put her out. She's on her own. She got to take care of it herself. I'm not going to be a part of this, but I'm not going to make an example out of her. I'm going to try something else. But as he thought about it, y'all know my feeling on the word but. I am planning on putting in the 2017 calendar a series called The Butts of God. Or Bible Butts. I haven't decided the name of it yet. But while he's planning to deal with the change in his plan, we find verse 20. And verse 20 says this, but while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. When he began to think about, what am I going to do now? I'm going to put her out. The angel of the Lord came to him and said, whoa, wait a minute. Don't be afraid. Because what is happening is not about man or mankind or earthly or sinful or lustful, but rather what is happening is of the Holy Spirit. He said, I've come to tell you that there is a plan at foot that is bigger than what you had planned. If you had married Mary and had a kid, nobody would know you and nobody would know Mary, but I'm about to choose you to do something special for me. Let me tell you, church, sometimes God will let you have a plan, but he will stop that plan and you'll look up and say, what now? And the Lord will speak to you as you try to discern what to do and tell you what you had planned was nice, but what I have to give you is superb and excellent and wonderful, and it is better for you that you do it my way than to do it your way. In the middle of his pain, in the middle of his disgust, in the middle of his probable anger, God said, what I am doing is of the Holy Spirit. I got news for you, church. We waste a lot of time trying to get God to do it our way instead of listening to God say, what I'm trying to do is of the Holy Spirit. Quit trying to make it your way. He goes on in verse 21. And he says, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Any son that you could have, Joseph won't do anything like Jesus will. Any son that you can have, Joseph won't be the son of the Most High God. But what is in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to name him Jesus. And he will save the world from their sin. He is going to be the Redeemer. Verse 22 says, all this was done so it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. See, what the angel is showing Joseph is he's showing him, look, you've read this prophecy before. You know this. And I had to bring my son through a virgin. My son had to be conceived into a virgin and born from a virgin who had never known a man. Why? Because it could never be said that my son belonged to a man. My son belongs to me. My son is of my lineage. My son is of my bloodline. But Joseph, I have chosen you to be the earthly father of my son. I am asking you, if you will, to be the stepdad to my little boy. I want you to raise him. I want you to teach him. I want you to train him. I want you to influence his childhood and his life. But Joseph, you can't put her away because I have put my son in her so you can raise him. Church, sometimes we have a plan. And we say, God, this is what I want to do. When I was 15 years old, I had a plan. Actually, about 14. I had a plan. I was going to graduate high school at 17 years old. I was going to join the Air Force. I was going to go fly airplanes. I was going to fly airplanes for 20 years. And when I was 37 years old, I was going to retire from the Air Force. And then I was going to go fly jetliners. I was going to go fly commercial planes. And I was going to fly them for 20 years. And when I was 57 years old, 10 short years from now, I was going to live on the beach and play golf. Because I would have a retirement from the military. And I would have a retirement from an airline. And I was going to be rich. And I was going to have money, and I would have my own little plane I could fly around and tinker with. I had a plan. But about a year to a year and a half after I had a plan, I'm in an altar one night, and a pastor come by, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked up at him, and I'll never forget it, Brother James Bledsoe. He pointed his finger in my face, and he said, "What's God telling you right now?" And like it was somebody else speaking, I said, "He's telling me to preach." No, that's not it. I am not going to be a preacher. But God changed my plan. Instead of going into the military and getting paid to go through college, I went to Lee University and am still paying because I went through college. Instead of flying jet airliners, I began to lead teenagers, play games, and go to youth camps and Winterfest. Instead of flying for the airlines, I became a pastor. Began to lead groups of adults and oversee ministries of the whole church. Instead of retiring at the age of 57, plan on retiring somewhere around the age of, should be able to afford it by 95, 96, something like that. I think I pay Lee off at about 90, and I'll need a few years to put some money back. My plan changed. But you know what? My plan wasn't of the Holy Spirit. But when I began to understand that God's plan was of the Holy Spirit, then my plan didn't matter anymore. It didn't matter what I wanted to do because God had ordained me and called me and positioned me to follow the plan and fulfill what he had laid into my heart. And he was fulfilling in me the work that he had chosen for me. Now what? Okay, so what's in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now I understand, God, you've got a plan. Now what am I supposed to do? Look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. When the turkey's gone. When what you had planned isn't there anymore. When what you wanted wasn't available. When what you had longed for was no longer what you thought it was. What now? Do what God says do. I think we forget this side of the Christmas story so often. We forget that the Christmas story, we read it knowing the ending. But God every day asks us to do things that we don't know what the ending is. We don't know how it's going to turn out. Sister Ann came to me this morning. And she said, Pastor, God woke me up last night and had me pray. I don't know if I was praying for our church or another church. I don't know what it is, but God told me to pray, and I've been praying. She didn't know what it was. She didn't know why. She didn't know how come. Just do it. You want to know why we don't worship the way we should worship? You want to know why? I'm going to close in just a second, I promise. You want to know why that the Sunday after Thanksgiving we have such a small crowd in church? We spend too much time trying to live out our plan. We're not blessed financially because our plan is not to tithe, but it's God's plan. We live without enough time to get things done because our plan is to take time away from Bible reading and church going and praying and worship. That's not God's plan. We have bad relationships because we don't spend time building relationship with Christ. Our marriages fail because our marriages are not centered around the Word of God and presence with God. Everything in your life will go away. One of these days, I will go away. I don't know how it'll happen. One of these days, I'll kick the bucket. And my wife will rise up and say, the turkey's gone. The turkey is gone. I can't be everything to my wife because she needs what God has. Because I will go away. Church, we can't be built on me in this church. I can't be the one that does everything. I can't be the one that everything is dependent on. I can't be the only one that knows how to turn on the sound system and run the computer and fix the cameras. And I can't be that person. You know why? Because one of these days I'm going to go away. One of these days I'm not going to be here anymore. No, this is not a resignation thing, so everybody relax. I've now been here longer than I've been any place else. That excites me. It also depresses me that I haven't been here that long. But anyway. But next Sunday is my 4-year anniversary. Here's actually Monday, Thursday night is 4 years from moving into town. But one of these days I'll go. Whether it's by the grave or whether God calls me to another church. Another ministry? I'll go. A rapture? But the turkey's going to be gone. What you need is what God sends of the Holy Spirit. What we need in our lives is to quit trying to make our plans work and instead set back and say, God, what is your plan? What is it that you have that will guide me and lead me? Because when we tap into what God has, then it doesn't matter what happens to your neighbor or to your mama or to your wife or to your sister or to your grandma or to your pastor or to your teacher. Because you're walking in the plan that God has laid out. When Joseph heard that Mary was pregnant, it wasn't automatically, well, now she's pregnant, but it's the Messiah. I'm sure that was not the first thought crossed his mind. Well, you know, it was prophesied. No. Even if she told him, look, I'm pregnant, but it was an angel that overshadowed me and said that I can see Joseph. I know what I'd have been doing, going, uh-huh. Yeah, boy. Give me that and 25 cents and I'll get half a cup of coffee. But when we begin to trust God with our life, when we begin to trust every decision to the Father, when we begin to trust every circumstance to the power of the Holy Ghost to guide our life, then every decision we make takes us one step closer to Him. Some of you are here this morning and you're facing challenges. The things you wanted aren't happening the way you wanted them to. The plans you have seem to be fading away. What are you going to do now? What you thought was going to be isn't happening the way you want it. What are you going to do now? Where you thought you would be in your life right now isn't there. What are you going to do now? I'll tell you what you do now. You seek God. And you let God show you His path. You find His favor. I want everyone to bow your head and close your eyes. There may be somebody here this morning who says, Pastor Tommy, my plans have not worked. My plans have not been fulfilled the way I planned for them to be. Every time I think I got it together, something else falls apart. And I want God's plan. But I don't even know if I know God. I need Him in my life to give me the direction. If you're here this morning, you want to invite Christ to come into your heart and save your life. I just want you to simply put your hand up and put it right back down again. Yes. It's going to give you a second. Some of you right now say, I don't know if I should or not. Yeah, you should. That's why you're here. God prepared you. See, you may not have even planned to be here, but God brought you here. I want everybody in this building to pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. And I admit that I've sinned. But today I believe that you died for my sin. And on the third day, you rose back to life again. Victorious. And I confess that you are the Lord of my life. My master, my teacher, my boss. And I will follow you. Today I commit to do it. I commit to listen to your plan. To study your word. To seek your will. And to follow it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God a hand. One last challenge I want to leave you with before you leave. There are going to be things that happen every day that are not going to be the way you wanted them to be. Challenges that are going to come up, situations are going to happen, not what you planned. But I want to encourage you. Let God direct your path. And when God directs your path, you will find His victory is sweeter than your plan. Thank you for being here this morning. Shake hands, be friendly, tell somebody you love them, everybody God loves them. You're dismissed.